Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey Zedheads, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Lucy.
And this is the Walking Dead cast episode 486.
And this episode, we're going through your feedback for the Walking Dead cast season 11, episode 20, What's Been Lost.
And maybe some for some episodes before that. And this is our, I think, second ever feedback focused episode. I think we did another one like a decade ago.
Probably had my feedback on it.
It maybe did, yeah. How far back do you go? I can't remember.
2012, 13-ish. Okay. Maybe not so far, yeah.
Like season two or three or somewhere in there?
I think end of season two, start of season three, if I recall correctly, yeah.
That's cool. So, yeah, you probably heard us last time say that we were getting a lot of feedback now, and instead of cutting way down on the feedback, we figured, hey, let's just do a separate episode on it and see how that goes. And we'll also do a little bit of comic talk in this episode. Mm-hmm. I just have one or two things to say about that. So, let's get into it.
So our first comment is from Anna Panke, who says, I just started the podcast episode and immediately had to come here to thank you, Lucy, for an incredible opening to the podcast. I have never laughed so much only 2 minutes in. Hashtag forever horny for Hornsby. Anna, through every great pain comes joy. Thank you for sharing in my pain and my joy.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who were very moved by what you said.
I think you
it was really helped people process.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I like to think I did.
Yeah, absolutely. Ashley Edward Wolf says, beautiful UG Lucy.
Tearing up here. Andrea Hatfield Olmsted says, okay, love the episode. First, I have to say, Lucy, you are so funny. Thanks, Andrea. I think so. I loved your memorial speech. Great talk, you guys. I couldn't stop laughing, so thank you. How do I become a Patreon? Ah, you go to patreon.com/JasonCabassi. Also, those people in Pamela's office, I thought they were the Alliance, as Hornsby mentioned. They also looked strikingly similar to the same CRM people from The World Beyond during episode one on the stage from Monument Day speech. Long stretch, but I thought so. Ooh, I'll have to go back and check that.
Interesting, yeah. I mean, more and more I'm liking this idea that the CRM is going to be involved towards the end here, you know?
Yeah.
With Lance talking about merging other communities. It would be cool to do that. The CRM, for people who don't know, did not exist in the comics at all.
Yeah.
It was just the Commonwealth. Okay.
Yeah.
Brad Holt says, wow, what an episode. To paraphrase Rick, Pamela is fucking with the wrong people. I think that's a good callback. I think The Walking Dead topped themselves tonight on the gross out meter when Pamela saw Sebastian's remains, and those tunnel walkers were awesome. Is it just me, or have the writers let the Daryl Connie ship just kind of trail off? Yeah, right?
Yeah, kinda actually. Did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Nathan Eshelman says, I'd like to pour one out and offer my condolences to Lucy during this time of inconsolable grief. Yep. Thanks, Nathan. Hornsby had a chance to run, but sadly, now all that's running are the tears down our sullen faces. I offer you this haiku as a gift. Horny for Hornsby. A coin toss could not save him. Forever, we grieve. Nathan, I've been thinking of getting a tattoo for a number of years, and I think I've just found it. Like, I'm going to get that haiku tattooed.
I'm sure,
like,
Peter will love that.
Oh, yeah. Very, somewhere very obvious on my body. Thank you for that.
Right,
it's a
on
real
your
gift.
Forehead, I would say.
Yeah, forehead place. Or neck.
Nathan's so great. Nathan,
he's so
you've
great.
You've been sending in a lot of cool stuff. Thank you so much. We love it. Matthew Rimmer says, Carol was not horny for Hornsby.
But he was horny for her. Dobolino Bob Grippy. Hello, a name I've not heard for a long time. I was hoping Lance would walk away and then suddenly grab a hook out of the sky and leave the show with Enid, who was a spy. Yes, that was the alternative ending.
Yeah, she made a paper mache head of herself and stuck it on a pike to fool everyone.
Amazing.
Greg Schwamm says, Lance, we've been over this. You don't fuck with Carol or people she loves. Pretty much a good rule with people, but especially not with her. Don't fuck them over. Don't try to kill them. Don't hold them hostage. And don't give them reason to put you on her bad side. You should write a book, Greg. You can make chapters out of all these. Having said that, if he had to go, I'm glad Carol was the one to do it. Maybe Daryl can finally drop some of the great fury and furious anger he's had most of his final third. I enjoyed this one and loved Miko's very public announcement of fucking over Pamela, and it felt like Pamela was chewing up the scenery in the scene where she found Lance's coin embedded in the hole in Sebastian's head.
Oh, yeah.
Even though she didn't have any lines, the grief and anger on her face just made me laugh. Maybe just because I don't like the character. I'm loving the departures from the comic and not knowing what's going to happen. I like these stories. And while I may be skeptical about the spinoffs, hopefully they add one for the Commonwealth, assuming it survives. Looking forward to hearing the podcast. Thanks,
Ooh,
Greg.
Amazing. Thanks, Greg. Nathan Moes says, I can't help but feel that the Commonwealth arc feels a little undercooked. It seems like the show is really leaning into political drama genre, but in my opinion, it's lacking the shocking twists and turns that political drama should have. I know everyone has different reasons for loving the show, but for me, it has often been the huge empty landscapes and that feeling of beauty within entropy. Seasons 9 and 10 brought those themes back in a big way, which I absolutely loved, but season 11 has departed from that to try something new. I'm glad that many other viewers are loving it right now, but it's just not pulling at my heartstrings in the same way as what we've seen before. Nonetheless, I'm still enjoying each episode, and I'm really looking forward to watching the finale with everyone in San Francisco. Yay! On another note, when Hornsby was talking to Daryl about connecting communities all the way to the sea, did anyone else think of Death Stranding for a moment? I'm going to admit I don't know the reference.
That's this fairly recent game with starring Norman Reedus as like a futuristic. He delivers. You see him walking around with this big pack on his back, like it's like a big square metal thing. And
okay.
From what I've heard, there's a lot of walking in the game. And
okay.
Like Ben said, I walked for a few hours and that was enough for me. But apparently, if you let yourself get even further, then you get really drawn in and it's great. I don't know.
Oh, wow. Is that the one where he's like naked at some point? I feel like that hit the headlines.
Or maybe there was like. Was he naked? Maybe. Or there was like a naked fetus. Well, most fetuses are naked.
I was going to say, as opposed to one that comes out.
One
really
with a little tie and a vest.
And a bow tie and a hat. Yeah, yeah.
Hello, my darling. Anyway, what were we talking about?
Walking.
Yeah. I think, political genre lacking shocking twist and turn that the political drama should have. I mean, for us, it's interesting because it's just a rumination on the things about modern civilization and society that are kind of shitty and what it would mean for our characters to return to that. That's what's the most interesting to me. But saying all this stuff about the beauty with entropy and not tugging at your heartstrings, I could totally get that. I mean, I hope they start tugging at our heartstrings a little bit more before this is all over.
Yeah, it's been less sentimental than I expected. And I think I agree that the Commonwealth should have really had its own season. Like, I'm still a bit bitter that we wasted some time with the Reapers for the first day. Like, that really still,
if
like
all that was gone,
makes
that
me
would be
frustrated.
Awesome.
Yeah, if we could have just had, if the extended season was used to give the Commonwealth breathing room, that would have been awesome. But I feel like it was maybe to tie up something that shouldn't really have been started. But
yeah. And maybe just because, you know, how we've been talking about how if the Commonwealth was expanded, it would give it more of the scope. They should have just filmed some scenes in Times Square and pretended that was just another part of the Commonwealth.
Though. Yeah.
With cabs going by.
Taxi.
Lance is like, taxi. Take me to Pamela's.
Take me to the nifty waistcoat store, please.
whose turn is it?
I think it's your turn. I think.
Yeah, Sam, yeah. Sam Willis says, hi, guys. For a last season, I feel like the show is being dragged through the mud. It's such a slow burn to me. I've had enough of the Commonwealth's Shirley from EastEnders / Jude Judy antics. Now just want to progress towards linking our group with the CRM. Understand need to link it all together, but I feel they could have done it in half the time in which they have. Sorry to seem Debbie Downer towards the show, but everyone I know has stopped watching, so the only place I feel I can rant is with you guys. Keep up the great work. You're not alone, and like I've said before, amazing. And when we had Rima on, it's good to get that perspective so that all the other people who also have it don't feel like they're crazy.
Absolutely. I feel like for context, I'm just going to send Jason a picture of Shirley from EastEnders because
yeah, I have no idea
I feel like the context is needed. Like, mm-hmm. It's very similar to like Pamela's very rough sister, so I've just dropped that in the chat there for you.
Oh, let me... EastEnders. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I get the vibe, mm-hmm. The same vibe. She's a little more like, pow.
Yeah. She's kick-ass. Actually, I'd love to see Shirley from EastEnders in the zombie apocalypse. Anywho, Karen Shee says, I'm happy that people have enjoyed this episode, but it spun its wheels and felt like it could have been told in 15 minutes when the meeting could have been an email energy. Hmm. I wasn't scared for Daryl, Carol, or Yumiko at all. I did sit up when Carol asked Lance what comes after, which was the title of Rick's last episode. Rick also said there has to be something after all the killing when he spared Negan in the season 8 finale. I had hoped that Lance would lead Carol to the CRM, what with the mention of trains, or to Rick in this episode. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but we only have 4 episodes left of this series. Sad face.
So when people say, I'm happy people like this, but I think it sucks, do you think they're really happy?
No. I'm always bitter when people don't feel the same as me. I'm like, oh, really, you think that? Oh, really?
Well, I'm happy you like it, but...
Well, I'm happy you like it, but you're wrong. I'm sure Karen, though, I can... Yeah, I can vouch that Karen is a much nicer, smarter person than me. So, like, yeah, she's probably
maybe she's
does feel happy.
Happy that we like it.
Yeah, she's probably got more moral fiber than I do. Yeah.
I'm never happy when people like
No, I know. I'm always grumpy. I'm secretly really mean.
Secretly? Okay. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right.
Jody Langridge says, I'm hoping they wrap up the Commonwealth storyline next week, as if I had enough of the common troopers. I'm getting anxious that we're running out of time to get a satisfactory conclusion as promised. I want all of our people to get back home safe. Plus, we still haven't seen Oceanside yet. God, tick tock, right? Tick tock. Love seeing Carol outsmart those thugs. She couldn't physically beat them, but kept throwing shit in their way to slow them down, including a few carbs. I thought I saw some bread being slapped on them. Not happy they took the kids and dog. Is Daryl actually bulletproof? He could have caught a shot in that gun fight to make it more realistic. I mean, how many times did Rick get shot or stabbed and still kept rolling? A few from memory. I mean, they're always getting shot in firefights and then you just forget about it. I think Aaron got shot and Gabriel this season, and now they're just fine. So
they're just like,
I actually think it was better that they just sprayed a spray of machine gun at Daryl and not one hit him, because it was much more like Star Wars that way.
Yeah.
Not one connected. She goes on, Pamela with her groupies sucking up to her in her office. I'm sure that one woman in the blue still had some shit on her nose when she left. Also, when her phone rang, I thought maybe it's Lori looking for Rick.
That'd be amazing.
That's a callback. RIP crazy-eyed Lance. You were your own worst enemy. I thought I was desensitized to a lot of the gore, but seeing that unlucky coin poked into Sebastian's brain matter was gross. Gack. Mm-hmm. Lucy, you have my deepest condolences for your loss. # love for Lucy. 2 hearts.
Means a lot. Thank you.
The convoy in the last scene has me worried and wondering if they're heading for the train. If so, it better be stopping at Grime Station at some point to make us all happy.
Oh, hell yeah.
There, if you're into comic talk, there's a news bit that I'm going to read in there about the ending that has me feeling pretty good. So if you're into the comic book talk section, it won't be that spoiler. So I recommend listening.
Amazing. Wyman Owen, my Canadian friend, says, overall, it was enjoyable. Few points of interest. Sebastian is a messy eater. That was actually gross. I'm glad he's finally gone. Yumiko did a wicked screw you to Pamela. And Hornsby was always a pain in the neck. And this is for Lucy. Where is Luke? I don't know why I'm in. Where is he? I don't know. Oceanside, I mean, apparently.
Yeah, Oceanside, right? That's what we thought. Mm. Can they really just pretend Luke never existed? That would be weird, I would think.
It'd be two heartbreaks for me. Two heartbreaks in as many months.
And Karen, she actually answered Wyman Owen. I have a follow-up on Wyman's question to Lucy. Would you rather have Hornsby alive or have Luke in the remaining episodes? Lance or Luke?
Oh, I would rather have Lance alive a little bit longer for the story. I would love to see Luke again. But at this point, I want good story and a satisfying conclusion. And only Lance can deliver that.
Fascinating. I feel like you could have flipped a coin for that one in solidarity with Lance. She says, same question to me. I think Lance and Josh Hamilton has been in the most magnetic addition to the cast with Mercer a close second. To me, would I rather have Lance or Luke? I think Lance too. Yeah, he was more interesting. I liked Luke, but Lance was more interesting.
Taken too soon. # arms of an angel. Emily Rouse says, it's always awesome to have a Daryl Carroll team up. Though I have to ask, where the heck is Mercer while all this is going down? Seems like the military does a lot without his knowledge. Sebastian and Lance, two villains down and four episodes left. Lance definitely deserved what he got, but I really don't think he expected it. Speaking of Lance, are you happy someone finally asked what's going to happen if the gang brings down Pamela? Yes, Emily, I was.
Yeah, I don't know where Mercer is, but I mean, it's just not time for his story right now, and there will be time for it, I'm sure. There's one
personal day
with Mercer. Yeah, personal day. He's got to rest and relax too sometimes. Mark Kirkman says, that was an interesting episode, very different from the comic. The Commonwealth story was a bit frustrating to me in the comic run, a little bit for the show, but that soon will be done. I'm curious as to what we get out of the show, because the show is far different from the comic now. Hope to see what happened to Oceanside and what becomes of the characters that we root for in the show. I'm still wondering when Jadis and the CRM show up. That's what keeps me entertained for the show now. Lance being killed by Carol was something that was needed. Oh, curse you. No, I'm just kidding. Now it's the fall of the Commonwealth and our favorite characters building their own society after these events. Hopefully. Maybe the Commonwealth will fall, maybe not. Yeah, we don't know.
I don't know. I just can't view Lance's death as necessary. I'm sorry, Mark. I just have to disagree with you.
I doubt the Commonwealth will fall. That just seems like too bleak for the end of The Walking Dead.
No, I don't think it will.
Just said, there's children there, you know?
Yeah, there's too many people. If it was Woodbury, maybe, but there's too many people there for it to fall. It would just be chaos, I think.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Alma Contreras says, OMFG, woo, is all I can say. I really liked this episode. I didn't realize that Lil Herschel was there at the Commonwealth, but I guess it makes sense as he had been left with Lydia and Elijah. How crazy was it seeing the busload of our peeps when they were being drugged? I was filled with dread. Was I the only one stunned when Hornsby got the arrow through the neck? Alma, no, I was horrified. Carol, mother effing VP in this episode. Woohoo, not one hesitation. I loved it. What a great episode. I was on edge the entire time. Can't wait to hear y'all's reactions. Well, I hope we delivered.
I'm glad you're digging it, Alma. She's really into it. That's cool. Mark Nichols says, this was a really good episode and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I really feel like we're getting close to seeing Rick. There's too much flashing back to the start of the show to not see him. Hope you're right. I feel the trains are going to take us to the CRM and Rick will be in the military and waiting to process them. That'd be weird. I love that this is so far away from the comic, but I feel it all might end the same as the comic. The fact that Judith is voicing all of this makes me wonder if that has something to do with the end. I did spend most of this episode wondering where Mercer was. How can he not be there for all this? Maybe he's starting the resistance and is ready to come and take over the Commonwealth for himself. So many ways we can go and only four episodes left. I truly can't wait. Thank you for all for you do for us, Jason and Lucy. Thank you.
Aw, thanks, Mark.
Mark was great on the instant reaction video last time.
Yes, he was. That's where so, I recognized the name. That was fantastic.
And there's something about the comic there I don't want to spoil, but maybe you have a point with that. Mm-hmm. And I thought there was something else I was going to say about that. I don't know. Rick in the military. Yeah, what if these trains just go right to Rick? That'd be interesting.
Rick station. The Rick-tatorship, finally. Danielle Dement Yost says, I thought this was a great episode. I hated when Daryl and Carol got separated and was so relieved when they reunited before the end of the episode. Yumiko is taking a huge risk defending Eugene. I doubt they'll have an impartial jury of his peers. It will be difficult to get some port unless the trial is open to the public, which would be surprising. I wonder if this is when we'll cross over with the CRM. Maybe that's where our people are being taken. I think Mercer is going to be the catalyst that tears Milton down. She still trusts him right now, but he sees what's happening. I very much enjoyed Hornsby's death. Sorry, Lucy. Well, Danielle. Well, well, well. Small note. I feel like the technology is a bit too far-fetched post-zombie apocalypse. The whole ankle bracelet / alarm system setup was a bit much. Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, you have a point. Yeah, to be fair.
I don't know.
He did say it was radio. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I don't agree with that. Because, I mean, the only reason why I might agree with that is if that tech wouldn't last 10 years or whatever. Because if the tech is around and they have power, they can just fire it up. You don't need the internet to use that kind of a thing.
Yeah, so, if it's radio, I guess.
Yeah. So, Nils Cord Tortoise. We try that again. Nils Cordes says, well, I suppose that Daryl Ex Machina moment made it worth having to listen to Carol and Lance go through the same conversation that Daryl and Judith went through 2 weeks ago. I don't remember. Were Daryl and Judith talking about what comes after or something?
I think a little, but maybe not in quite the same terms.
But same idea.
Yeah.
I guess they had some time to fill and needed to figure out how to squeeze a few walkers into the plot. Ah, metaphor. They stretch that walker's skin like they keep stretching the show's plot.
Ew.
Sorry to keep posting such negative comments. I try to resist, but anyway, I hope you'll make me see this week's episode's highlights as much as you managed last week. Wonderful and interesting discussions there, Jason and Lucy. Oh, that's nice.
Oh, thanks, Nils.
Yeah, I guess if you diss the show and compliment us, that's good.
Yeah, that's great. We'll take it. We'll take it. So we have some emails. The first is from Carrie Massow-Abels. Jason and Lucy, I'm writing in before the last show as I know you two will be bombarded with fan mail. Oh, thanks, Carrie. She says, I was a new mom in November 2014. No one was sleeping in my house and my husband and I were shambling around like walkers in the woods. On New Year's Eve, I happened to be flipping channels and a show caught my eye. It was a young woman in a prison who befriended a young man. There was a mishmash of police officers and hospital staff and flesh-eating zombies. What on earth was this? I learned that it was Slab Town from season 5 of The Walking Dead. Holy moly, 2014. In hindsight, it was not the best set of episodes, but it caught my attention nonetheless. I had to go back and catch up on the previous seasons. At first, my husband dismissed the show, but then he started asking questions. Why did they put him in the well? Didn't she die at the prison? Why did that guy go crazy? I got him to start watching it with me too. Over the years, his interest waned, but mine stayed strong. It's the 1 hour a week I have to myself. I'm a runner, and most of my long runs are done on a Sunday. On Sunday night, I can put my feet up, have a drink, and watch my show. I watch it alone with all the lights off and closed captioning so I don't miss any dialogue. My daughter occasionally tries to sneak a peek at what she refers to as the Daryl Dixon show. I'm certainly not the only one to express what the show has meant to me over the years. It's made me laugh, cry, cringe, although Fear the Walking Dead tops all cringeworthy moments. Mm-hmm. I've appreciated characters like Carol, who overcame domestic violence to become a strong, badass leader. Not only does the show celebrate diversity amongst the cast, but also features interracial relationships. Aaron and Tara reassured the LGBTQ+ community that it was okay to be out and proud, ZA or no ZA. I found your podcast a few years ago, and I'm so thankful I did. In the early days of the pandemic, I still had to go to work at my clinic. I would listen to you guys on my commute to and from work, and some days it was the only thing that kept me sane. Knowing I could hear your voices at the beginning of each day helped me keep going. Aww. Thank you both for your outstanding coverage of this epic show. I'll adjust to my new normal of not having a main show, but 10 spin-offs. Fittingly, the show ends the weekend of my daughter's 8th birthday. Feels like it's all come full circle from the first time I saw it. I have appreciated this show and you guys more than you'll ever know. Don't get bit, but if you do, make sure you can come back as a variant said so that you can still open doors, scale walls, and maybe brush up on your French so you can join the Daryl Dixon show in Paris. Carrie Abels. What a lovely email, Carrie. Yeah. Thank you.
That's awesome. That was really nice. And you have a good point. Now there's going to be all these spinoffs and it's going to be different. And we're going to be focusing a lot on the new upcoming zombie show on HBO called The Last of Us,
yes,
which hopefully will be amazing because the game is amazing and the creators of that show are amazing. So,
great cast as well.
Yeah, great cast. So maybe that will be something cool that we can all sort of ruminate about and everything for at least a little while. I mean, I imagine that won't go 12 years. It'll probably go like 3 or 4 years or something.
Yay.
But thank you, Carrie. That's really sweet. Love it. Nick thank Archer you. Says, hey, Jason, I hope you and the family are well, but I just wanted to make sure it was okay to read. It wasn't a personal thing. I just wanted to let you know that my rash is clearing up.
Yeah, I know. I was just thinking that. You don't have to get tested. It's fine. It was just a scare.
Okay. I'm not pregnant. No.
The test was negative.
Just kidding, Nick. Nick's been a long-time listener, and he's great. And he says, hey, Jason, I hope you and the family are well. I know it's not the most common means of contacting you and Lucy these days, but I think there's something about it that reminds me of those first few times I emailed you and Karen. I've always written in this way, and it could be the last time I do for The Walking Dead proper. These days, the days really get away from me. My son is 3 in November, and my wife and I are either looking after him or at work. We don't have any help. So when I find myself in a pocket of time like this where he's asleep and she's at work, I try to take advantage. I know how it is, Nick. Believe me.
Yeah.
I fully expect that I won't get my thoughts in on time for the last episode or the rest of the season. So because I've been listening and writing in for what feels like a lifetime, I wanted to treat this like the last email. I still get a laugh over Jason and Bill, by the way. Do you know what he's talking about there?
No.
One time for April Fool's when, you know, I hadn't really podcasted with many people. So everyone was used to just me and Karen all the time. Now they're used to me podcasting with all kinds of people. But also it's, you know, now for this show, it's me and you. Anyway, back then it was always just me and Karen. And I, at the end, I was like, okay, well, we have an announcement to make. And that is that Karen's going to be leaving the show and it's going to be the Walking Dead cast with Jason and Bill. Karen, do you have anything to say about that? And she's just like, nope, got nothing to say. Okay. And they're like, April Fools. But like, there were at least 4 or 5 people that immediately stopped listening before I said April Fools and wrote in angry emails.
No.
So funny. And then I thought, man, now that I am like podcasting with a lot of different people, I should find a Bill to come on.
A Bill. We don't have any, do we? We don't have any Williams or Bills.
Not that I know of.
Bill, if you're listening, write in.
Yeah, see, if you have a nice voice and interesting things to say.
Be great.
So Nick goes on. This is last email to the Walking Dead cast before the show ends. Thoughts. I was really looking forward to this episode. I love Aaron. Ross Marquand is a beautiful actor. I was also excited by the potential scope of the episode, what was teased in the trailer. The fact that they managed to make those season one walkers canon, you know the ones, also makes me happy. It won't hurt when I do a rewatch one day. I think, is he talking about Variant then? That's the episode.
I think
he's
so.
About. Yeah. For me, all the quiet scenes between the two characters were written and acted beautifully. And even that feels like an understatement. I felt like the show was soaring in those moments. Aaron's talk with Lydia on the walkway brought me to tears, to taking back the nose, choosing when to say yes. Yeah, that was fucking amazing. I agree with you. The person I loved more than anybody except for my wife and child died this year. I hadn't lost anybody so damn close, so my lens is certainly different. I'm sorry, Nick.
Oh, that's awful.
He says her name was Liz. She was 27 and was a beautiful artist and musician. She had 2 songs on Spotify under the name Marla. The songs are called Tsunami and Call Me Out. If you or anybody else want to give them a listen, that would mean the world to me. Check those out, everybody. Tsunami and Call Me Out by Maria on Spotify. He goes on about The Walking Dead. Princess, her entire monologue knocked me on my ass and she delivered it phenomenally. Fuck that way of thinking, she said. What a beautifully written scene for her and a wonderful use of the F-bomb. Josh nailed it in this episode too.
Hell yeah.
That's Josh McDermott.
Yeah, with the Daryl scene.
Yeah, somehow he managed to make challenging Daryl to a fight funny, endearing, and sad all at the same time. It's true. I really thought he might have gone out this episode. What, like killed by Daryl?
Yeah, that would be amazing.
That would be crazy. Ultimately, I loved the little indie horror film they built around Aaron and the gang. Me too. It was genuinely scary at times, and I loved it. Aaron beating the Whisperer, quote unquote, and pulling off his quote unquote mask was amazing. And Aaron's face was perfect. Mm-hmm. I just wish they extended that out. I really wanted more. I don't have much to add about everything else. I'll leave that to you guys. I look forward to hearing your thoughts. I just want to say thank you for being such a constant source of entertainment and comfort. This podcast has been hitting me through massive ups and downs, and you guys now feel like old friends. I was a patron briefly. I only pulled out because I'm always severely broke. But that's getting better, so I'll return soon. But my respect and admiration for the work you've put in is undying. Thank you. Don't get bit, Nick Archer.
Undying. I see what you did there, Nick.
Thank you, Nick. And please, buddy, don't contribute to the Patreon if you can't afford it. It's okay.
No, don't bankrupt yourself, bud.
Glad to have you as a listener, yeah.
Definitely. Thank you so much. Yeah. So from Rinaldi Calixte, the past episode called Variant had good moments and well acted, but not particularly interesting moments. Josh Hamilton did a good job in this episode as the Weasley Hornsby desperately clinging to his life and his role as a member of the Commonwealth elite. Though I'm not eager to see Pam Milton be a one-dimensional villain with Lance becoming her lowly henchman. Pam had more nuance when her spoiled brat of a son was still alive. It seems to me that all of Lance's machinations and schemes seem to have gone nowhere. Eugene's arc was good to me because he is making a courageous choice that Daryl said he didn't have to make. Eugene sabotaging the Savior's bullets to win the Savior War for the Alexandria Hilltop Kingdom Alliance felt more like Gabriel guilt-tripping Eugene to take a risk. I think Daryl decided to not fight Eugene over Max because he vouched for Leah and it backfired horribly. Also, Max and Eugene are the reason Sebastian is dead, so that also earned respect for Daryl towards Eugene.
Wait, I'm confusing about that.
Yeah, I'm a little bit confused.
Daryl decided not to fight Eugene over Max because he vouched for Leah and it backfired horribly. Who vouched for Leah? Eugene?
Daryl? No.
And it backfired. Yeah, because Daryl, because Daryl had his own girlfriend who turned out to be bad. So he decided not to fight Eugene because he can't talk about women or something like that.
Maybe he misses Leah. Also, Max and Eugene are the reason Sebastian is dead, so that earns respect from Daryl towards Eugene. Princess's speech to Mercer was beautifully acted by Paolo Lazzaro, but Mercer being conflicted about rebelling against the Commonwealth Milton dynasty is starting to get so repetitive. I also was annoyed that this wide-scale rebellion is getting dragged out for another episode. The storyline with Aaron's group was good. I was worried Elijah would die without a kiss from Lydia because of how long the camera lingered on the two of them. However, I was disappointed there was only one variant walker and that the group defeated the group of walkers too quickly. Maybe I'm just being too impatient and I should enjoy the ride to the final episode. Hopefully, after hearing from Jason and Lucy, I will feel better about the episode. Well, I hope you did.
Yeah, the variant walker, and there only being one of them, I think that's because they hope that this will be an exciting new addition to the Walking Dead canon, and they want to milk it for all it's worth. So if they just shove them all in up front, then they don't have anywhere as much place to go with it. That's my suspicion.
Exactly.
So thank you guys all for writing in. That was really cool. Actually, this is really fun. I'm glad we did this.
Yeah, absolutely. It's nice to spend some time with it.
Yeah. And we're going to spend some more time because there's quite a few calls and some of them are kind of long, not too long, but anyway, excited to hear what people have to say. So first call is from Rich.
Hi, Jason and Lucy. I am calling about Variant for The Walking Dead. My name is Rich from Minneapolis, and I just wanted to point out something that doesn't seem to be noticed. The whole thing with Lance and taking over Oceanside and putting his flags place, that hasn't happened yet, if I'm thinking correctly. That couldn't have possibly happened yet. I think that was a flash forward into the future.
Mm-hmm.
especially when you think about that the first episode of this season started with Lance still fighting Daryl and Maggie.
Yeah.
There was no time to go take over three different areas and come back and still fight them. So I think that was a flash forward into the future.
Well, Rich sent us this before Lance died.
Oh,
so I think okay. That, he's dead, dude. So it can't
he
be.
He dead. Can't be in the I'm future. Still very confused, though, Rich. Like, yeah, I'm not super happy with that whole thing, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, because I think it was the end of episode 16. They did a little montage. They showed Commonwealth flags coming down at Hilltop and Alexandria.
Yep.
And then they showed Lance at Oceanside, right? So,
yep.
So I think the idea was that all those things were happening together, you know, one after the other. So, because maybe you could say, okay, well, Lance at Oceanside part, that was a flashback, but the flags of Commonwealth coming down at Hilltop and Alexandria were in the future, maybe, but it seemed like that was all happening at the same time. And now that Lance is dead, we know that that can't happen in the future. So it had to be the past.
It was very misleading. And we still don't know what happened at Oceanside, which makes it even more confusing.
But given that Aaron's going to Oceanside, I feel like we're going to find that out.
Yeah, fingers crossed soon.
Fingers crossed, yeah. Okay, here is Jason from Fort Worth, Texas.
Jason.
Yo, what's up, Jason and Lucy?
Yo.
This is Jason from Fort Worth, Texas.
Hey.
I just finished watching episode 20, thanks to AMC Plus. So if you haven't watched it yet, don't listen yet. I'll give you a quick sec. 3, 2, 1.
Ready,
okay, I just
want
to start off by saying this. Lucy, my condolences.
Oh, Jason,
I know your
heart
is hurting right now after watching the death of your boy, Take a Chance, Lance. Lance Hornsby. Always pushing limits, taking chances. He lost this time. And I know your heart is broken right now.
Oh, buddy.
Anyway, I just wanted to say, with his death and with Sebastian's death.
Do you need me to stop or should we keep going?
No, it's good. It's good. I'm really touched. I feel
cathartic.
Very seen. Yeah.
To me, I'm starting to feel like the stakes don't feel that high. Like, we knew what Sebastian did in the comics. That ain't going to happen for a number of reasons, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Lance is out the picture. I don't feel like Pamela's. I mean, I guess she's a threat. They're trying to amp up her, like, threatiness right now, but they haven't really built it. So I'm a little concerned. I mean, I know they'll stick the landing with these last couple episodes, but no one's dying, and I feel like the Commonwealth is not even as big of a threat as other groups that they've had to face. So, I mean, I just want to feel like something's going to pop off or there's some kind of danger going into the ending. Somebody's got to die in episode 21. I don't know who. I don't want people to die, but it's got to be something really wild out. It has to shock us, like, whoa. Because although I'm really enjoying these episodes, I'm saying I don't really feel like that giant threat. You know what I mean? So hopefully something pops off. Either way, I love you guys. I'll be listening to the pod and all things podcastica. Peace.
Oh, Jason. What a dude.
It's so funny. It's like I picture him as Two-Face with the one side all acid scarred and the other side all put together. And he's like, you know, I don't want anyone to die, but someone's got to die.
I don't want it, but it'll happen.
It must happen.
I think that's like a little bit of all of us when we watch The Walking Dead. Is we're like, no, we want them to live, but also someone must die.
I mean, at first I was always like, okay, this show, you have to be okay, not get too attached, and there needs to be character death so that we can feel afraid for the other characters and feel like the threat is real, you know. But now that we're at the end, I don't care about that as much anymore. So I don't really have that so much. This, like, oh man, someone needs to die or else it's not going to be good. I think they will, but if they didn't, I wouldn't care. I wouldn't be upset.
It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to make.
Yeah. Now, I don't, I mean, they don't need to make us feel like the threat is real because it's over. You know, the show's going to be over. And so now I'm more just like, oh, I like these characters. I like the possibility of seeing Aaron again in something else. So I'm afraid
to have
Aaron.
A spinoff.
Yeah, yeah. I'm afraid for Aaron, though.
No, I hear you. Yeah. Yeah. That, he's the one I'm probably most worried about, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not, yeah. And for me, it's not because I think he has the most chance of dying, but it's just because I like him the most, I think.
Yeah. I think that's it, isn't
it? That's left. Yeah. I like them all, but Aaron's probably the one I'd like to see survive the most. Mm-hmm. And the kids.
He's been through so much. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Here's Jonathan Bukalil, who's the host of Andor and kicking ass over there.
Jonathan.
Quick one.
Hello, Jason, and hello, Lucy. Hello. But at times I thought I was flipping channels between a daytime soap and the Carol and Daryl show. But that show was one of my all-time favorites, and it was great to see Daryl and Carol go full Carol. And an arrow to the neck is how you get things done. Nice and gory, some great shots in the tunnel. I hope we get to see some more mutant zombies next week. And with only 4 episodes to go, I hope they pull it all together for a classic ending. Thanks for the podcast, Jonathan.
Amazing.
I hope they do too. Pull it together for a classic ending. Come on, guys.
We've got it.
All right. Here's Robin.
Robin.
Good morning. Robin here.
Morning.
I enjoyed this episode. Excellent walkers, but I'm also really frustrated by it. I don't feel like Carol would have gone over hill and over dale for hours on end with Lance, listening to him yammer about what a badass she is without beating the shit out of him at some point and telling him to get on with it and shut up. I'm not sure she would have gone into that tunnel with him, but maybe she would. And was Daryl following them the whole time when they came out of the tunnel? How did he know that's where they were? Was he following them? If he was, why didn't he catch up? And they want us to believe that our group is in grave, terrible peril, but most of the group isn't even captured. Aaron, Jerry, Elijah, Lydia, Maggie, Carol, Daryl, Yumiko, maybe Negan and Annie, not sure where they went after their appointment. Eugene's in jail, but they'll break him out. So really, not very many of our people are actually on the bus, not the train, like Lance said. And I feel like Yumiko is very brave, but she put her brother in great danger, and they're just going to arrest her. I mean, they're not going to allow her to defend Eugene. Mm. Is Lance dead? That arrow went in the side of his neck, but I didn't see him bleeding very much, like from the jugular, and it certainly didn't sever his
spine.
Maybe
he's not dead.
So who knows? One small continuity thing.
If he's not dead, then we're going to have to grieve all over again.
Yeah, I know. Like, I can't live with this. I can't have him. I can't have him there. I can't have him back.
Need closure.
I just don't know. I just want closure.
All right.
Daryl killed Sebastian last week. Sebastian was on his stomach, and Daryl killed him in the back of the head. This week, when Pamela went into the cell, he was laying there on his back. Small thing, but just it kind of bugged me.
Well, that's because Lance stomped on his head and pissed on him and probably just rolled him over a few times for the hell of it.
That's our theory, and we're sticking to it.
Anyway, we're so close to the end. I'm hoping that we keep going with really good episodes. Anyway, thanks, y'all. Bye.
Thank you, Robin.
Amazing, Robin. I am giggling about our headcanon that Lance pissed all over Sebastian's body.
Why not? I gotta do one thing. Hold on a second.
Just gotta go. Just one sec. Two in one.
Right. Here's our good friend Owen from Leeds.
Owen.
Good morning, guys. This is Owen from Leeds, England, after watching episode 20 of season 11 of The Walking Dead. Hope you're both well. I've not rang in, I don't think, the last couple of episodes, but I didn't enjoy the third episode that much, but it sounded like, Jason, Lucy, it sounded like you really enjoyed it. I then watched it back, funnily enough, after listening to your podcast, and I was like, it was all right. I'll give it credit. All right.
High praise.
I took a few notes. My highlight of the episode was Connie and Yumiko. The sort of sign conversation. Anything to do with Connie generally I found really interesting, because you're seeing terror in a new way. a bit like The Quiet Place, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like when she had a sort of creepy house episode, which was terrifyingly brilliant. So yeah, that was very good. As previously mentioned, Daryl loves hurting Lance, and I was waiting for Daryl to kill him. And I like that it was Carol. I like that. Nice little twist at the end there. So Hornsby's Hornets are now disbanded. Pamela is the actress. She's playing a brilliant role as a villain. She's scary and ominous, and there's just something about her that would fit in like a leader in a Star Wars film, one of the better ones, where she'd be in the background.
Yeah.
Bit unnerving.
Complete with her battalion of inept stormtroopers.
Yes.
Yumiko said, you know what? Fuck you, Commonwealth. I'm going with my guys here. So yeah, that's going to screw her and her brother over. Well done, Yumiko. So yes, I believe that is everything I have to say. On to what the hell's going to happen to Ezekiel and Negan and our happy group. Cheers, guys. Bye-bye.
Oh, Owen. I love it. Everyone around here sounds like Owen, where I live now, which is great. Like great it. Accent. Love it.
I like how you use the word were instead of was sometimes. That were good.
Yeah, that were good.
Everybody, if you haven't given your zombie sound at the end of your call, now's your chance. We want to hear some more zombie sounds. Yeah. I remember if Owen did. He probably did. Here's Helen.
Helen.
Hello, Lucy and Jason.
Hello.
First time calling in. Long time listener. My name's Helen. I live in Yorkshire. No, I don't. I live in Scotland, but I'm from Yorkshire.
No way.
I just
opposites.
Wanted to say, Lucy, my heart absolutely broke for you. And I thought of you as Lance met his demise. I don't see the attraction, but I appreciate yours. I'm calling right now because I was just listening to the podcast opposites. And you were laughing out loud about the Star Wars links, and I thought exactly the same thing. It was hilarious. That's it. Not a planned message, and I'm late for work. But I'll see you in San Francisco. Bye.
What?
You're coming to San Francisco? No way, Helen. That's amazing.
Nice job, Helen.
Nice one. Love
Call
it.
Call in and leave your zombie sound too, by the way, Helen. Thank you.
Yeah.
That. And here is Steve Brown.
Hello, Walking Dead cast. This is Steve, and this is going to be for What's Been Lost. Oh, so this time now we get the Judith voiceover, and it's going to be a Carol-centric episode. Oh. That was a quick fight there. Carol got away from the two of them. You know, Rosita had three on her, so. Right, so whose trailer is this? Oh, it's Daryl's trailer that she's found. It's got blood around it. It's like Daryl only had to take on two, and he's already killed one of them and got one of his knives in this guy's shoulder. Wow. That convenient, this guy turning as quickly as he is. Now, who is Pamela meeting with? The four families of the Commonwealth? Oh, and the punch from Yumiko. Wow. Okay, so Pamela's going to blackmail Yumiko into prosecuting Eugene by holding her brother and her friends over her head. That's just despicable. Pamela really is becoming the big bad. Took dog too? So Connie got away and is in the hospital. What are Carol and Daryl up to now? Oh, they're breaking out Hornsby. Oh, that's disgusting. Sebastian just rolling around in the blood and it looks like a broken Lance. Run fast. He's got an ankle monitor and you're just like, we're just going to run. I think he spotted you, Yumiko. It's already a police state, Pamela. You've got guys with guns on every corner and building. Oh, he left his coin behind in... Ew. They're looking for Carol and Lance. Do they have the radio frequency or something? How did they get to them here? Wow, Eugene. You do have faith and loyalty. And hope. Now, where is this his way out of the city? This tunnel project that was left behind because it was... collapsing. The way their group was brought in was mishandled. Oh, did he lead her into a walker trap? This fight between Carol and these walkers would be much more tense if we didn't know what we know. Oh, and that gunshot to the head after she pulled the skin off. When Daryl saves the day, they were going to kill Lance and Carol. Where's Mercer? Oh, that's brilliant, Yumiko. You're acknowledging your brother publicly in front of all these people, so if Pamela disappears him, somebody's going to notice. Ooh, good for you, Yumiko. Fight the power. Whoa. Did they just leave that machine gun in the Jeep? And Carol just... Wow, she's quick with that bow. Sorry, Lucy. I guess no more Hornsby. All right. Bring on next week.
Steve.
I was just going to say, wow, Lance's death passed without so much as a comment, Steve. And then he apologized. So that was good.
I had a thought earlier about Daryl having followed Carol and Lance. I thought he might have been on the back of the stormtrooper van. I thought it looked like he dropped out of the back of the thing. Like Carol saw something happening under the van, but it wasn't clear. And I think I might have made that up. So, I guess we'll see.
Because how would he have found them otherwise? So maybe that's true, you know?
Yeah.
How would he know where they were?
The
whole point was for Lance to lead them somewhere that they didn't know where it was. So I think that is a possibility.
Who knows?
I mean, I'd like to see how that happened, though, because the reason why Daryl wasn't with them is because he was holding them off. You know, he's like, you go without me. And then he's like, wait, I have an idea. Can you just give me a ride?
Can I have a ride? Sure, buddy.
Okay,
that sounds great.
Here's Caitlin from South Carolina.
Ooh.
This is a longer one. It's 3 minutes, just so you know.
Okay.
Hi, Jason. Hi, Lucy. This is Caitlin from South Carolina. And I'm a first-time caller. Long-time listener, though. And I just really love your podcast, and I want to say thank you for creating this space every week to analyze this awesome show that we obviously all love so much. I just want to thank you for the great work you do. This week's episode had me freaking out most of the episode, way more than I can remember in a long time, especially since we've been doing season 11 for a full year now.
Oh, I forgot to mention, this is for last week's, the variant. The rest of these are for last week's.
And between crying, my hands in my face, I just felt like this was a very intense, game-changing episode. And first of all, with Eugene giving his tie to Rosita for Coco, that's what made me cry. I thought that was so tender. So heartwarming and heartbreaking. Their relationship is just so sweet, and I really love it, and it just made me cry. It really did. Mm. And other parts of the episode had my hands in my face, or I was calling out to my husband, who doesn't even watch the show, and he just laughs at me. Were Jerry? I thought, surely not. They're not going to let Jerry die injured on a roof by one of those stupid fast zombies, because Jerry deserves to die an old man surrounded
on a roof, attacked by a zombie,
great grandchildren with the smell of cobbler in the back and peacefully into sleep.
Yes.
Or some sort of incredible warrior, brave, saving his friends and family. You know, heroic death. But when they had that thing crawling up at him, I was quite literally screaming. And the whole time that they were at, you know, the Renaissance Festival destination, I was freaking out for all of their safety. I thought, surely one of them's going to die here. Thankfully, they didn't. And then the Lance scene with him assuming he's still powerful or has some kind of play here, and then Pamela is pulling a Governor and making Lance feed Sebastian like he's Penny. I mean, that was insane. And what is up with, I don't know if anyone has talked about this on the podcast yet, why this is the second time Pamela has like rubbed her hand close to Lance's face, and he closes his eyes lustily. What is that? Are they trying to tell us that he's been in love with her all these years? I'm ready to find out. And I'm really still worried about some of our favorite people, since some of the main people already have shows. I'm just really excited, and I'm excited to see what you guys thought about it. I hope you have an awesome week, and don't get bit, especially because now these zombies are fast. You need a stretch. Don't want to pull a hammy. Bye.
Should add that to our closing.
Amazing. I love that. Thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, that was great. I think Lance just really wants Pamela's approval. Like, we've talked about it a little bit, but like, she's kind of like a mother figure. He didn't get his mother's approval probably when he was little.
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah. So he's just aching for it. And so when she touches his face, it seemed a little sensual, but I think it was just more like, just needed some affection from mommy.
Some mama issues.
Yeah. Okay. A couple more calls. And these are both also about last week's episode. I believe here is Randy.
Mm-hmm. Randy.
Hello, Jason and Lucy and the rest of the Zedheads. This is Randy from Maine. First time caller, long time listener. I've been listening to the show since, I think, season 2. Wow. And I've just got to say, your show is, it's okay. It's all right. No, I'm kidding. I love your show. It's the first podcast I ever listened to. And despite there being like 15 million people who apparently watch The Walking Dead, somehow I don't know any of them. So you were that water cooler conversation about The Walking Dead that I got to have each week. So I thank you for that. I watched the variant episode of The Walking Dead recently, and I have got to say I am into the variant zombies. I liked back in season 1 when there was hints of them. And I kept thinking, like, man, why isn't this continued on? It takes the zombies, which can be hard to stage as a reasonable threat. And if you just mix in, like, one or two doing something unpredictable, I think that amps up that danger level.
Yep.
And it just would make it more exciting. So I'm glad they're finally coming back to it. I have a hot take, an Alden hot take, RIP. I think a lot of people aren't into the idea of fast or smart zombies because it's a lot harder to picture yourself surviving a zombie apocalypse where there are fast or smart zombies.
Yeah.
Just my little hot take there.
I'm going to pause that because I think it's, for me, it's kind of like, it's hard to picture them not surviving with the slow zombies because they're so slow and easy, you would think, to deal with. So if they're a little faster and a little smarter, that makes it just the right amount of realistic that they might have trouble with it. You know, if they're like freaking 28 days later, rage zombies, then it's more like, oh yeah, how could anybody? But if they're just like kind of opening doors and stuff, then that's a little bit more like, oh yeah, I guess I could see how that would be more of a problem.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, he's got a few more things to say.
The episode, Long Live King Jerry, and I get to do a zombie sound.
Yeah!
Oh, so many options. Let's go with... Thanks. Don't get bit.
Awesome. He did Incredible. The classic Return of the Living Dead brains.
I love it.
Randy's awesome. He's in the Zedhead group, you know, which you can get to be a part of if you join up via Patreon. And he's been participating a lot lately. I think it's really cool. He's been listening for so long, but just decided to jump in and been getting to know him a little bit. He's an artist. He actually has a bunch of art of like historical figures in zombie apocalypse situations, like
amazing
American soldiers and stuff like that. It looks pretty cool.
That's really cool.
And our final call of the day is from Thomas from AZ.
Thomas.
Hey Jason, hey Lucy. I wanted to call in about this week's episode, Variant. Everything was great. I really enjoyed the episode. Only thing that got me kind of bummed out was finding out that Aaron only had one love, being Eric. You know, I thought it would have been fun to have thought that during the time jump, him and Jesus was getting their freak on. But I guess that wasn't the case. Well, I guess actually they could have still got the freak on. He just wasn't in love with them. So I guess we can still, you know,
We can dream
of it that way. Anyways, also I wanted to share with you guys, I'll be seeing you in San Fran. I'm so excited.
Yay!
Got my ticket booked, so nice. It's going to be a great finale.
Oh, excellent.
Wait, do you hear that? I think someone's at my door. Hold on.
Oh, I guess we won't see him.
Oh, incredible.
We'll be seeing him in San Francisco after all. That's too bad.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm so excited. Not long left to meet all you guys. I'm so excited.
And I think that Aaron and Jesus absolutely hooked up.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe their hearts had been heartened over, so it was just, you know, a little bit of fun on the side. They didn't let themselves get too involved.
I think so. I think they were both good-looking men, you know? Nothing wrong with that.
Okay, before we wrap, I just wanted to do a little bit of comic talk. So we're going to talk a little bit about the comic and how it relates to the episode. We're trying not to be too spoilery about the very end of the comics, but there was one thing in particular that came up in this episode. So if you don't want to hear any of that, actually, let me read this. This is less spoilery, but it helped me feel better about the end of the show. And I'll do that before we talk about what happened in this episode that reminded me of the comic. So Entertainment Weekly asked Scott Gimple how much the end of The Walking Dead will differ from the original source material. And he said, it's like a remix. Some things simply have to remix, which I think is awesome because I love the end of the comic, but we get to see another version of it because we have to. He says it still takes Robert Kirkman's really cool story and tells his story, but in a very different way and with a different ending. It's like the same but different. Typical Scott Gimple.
I love Gimple answers, man.
He also said, I think the cast of main characters on the show might even be a little bigger than how the comic ended. All those characters have endings. It's a very intense last few episodes. Up until the finale, it's just full intensity. The throttle is open, and it ends with a really definitive conclusion for both the series and then each individual character.
So I think what he's talking about, possibly not spoiling what actually happens, there's the last few pages of the comic are short, small squares showing what every main character ends up doing. So I wonder if we're going to get something like that. And it is, there's quite a few, and because it's black and white and a lot of them are white dudes, it is kind of hard to tell who's who sometimes. But that stuck out in the comics for me, is it is, it's like a montage of where everyone ends up. And I think before the final episode, we should definitely have a comic talk of our predictions, because I've got some thoughts.
That's a good idea.
But I think it's too early to do it now. That was probably the most upfront Scott Gimple's ever been about anything, which makes me think he's lying.
I know. It's like, ah, big like, cliffhangers.
He's lying, right?
It reminds me of a show where they say at the end, like, oh, you know, so-and-so went on to become a senator or whatever.
Yeah.
And this time it's like, so-and-so ended up fighting for his life against the zombies and say that for
did
every person.
Did he win? Who knows?
So anyway, I like that definitive conclusion. I mean, that could be kind of ominous. They could all die. You know?
Right.
But anyways, so can you guess what it was that I was thinking deserved to have a comic talk from this episode?
Was it public transport?
Absolutely. Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. In the comics, the trains are Eugene's baby, really. Yeah. Eugene by
and
the
Stephanie.
Final comic. Yes, Eugene and Stephanie in the comics. In
who's
the final
Max, basically.
Who's Max? Yeah, yeah, Stephanie and Max are the same. They've linked from the Commonwealth to Alexandria for sure, and then they're talking about going further west, which in the comic doesn't mean as much, whereas in the show that might mean the CRM. So the trains getting up and running is a huge part of it. Really shapes actually the last issue of the comic, because a lot of characters are going various places on the train system. It's bigger than you'd think.
Yep. And that's important, you know, if the idea is to connect communities. So I just thought that was worth mentioning.
Absolutely. Sebastian is dead. Long live Sebastian.
All right, that is our show, episode 486. Thanks for listening, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that. Let us know if you did. I also am loving people calling and writing in more with a long-term perspective, saying what the show or the podcast is meant to you, stuff like that. So feel free to send more stuff like that in. Now that we're doing these separate Absolutely. Feedback episodes, we'll have space for all of it pretty much. So yeah. And if you want to write in and leave us a message, you can find all our contact information at podcastica.com.
While you're there, be sure to check out our other shows. There have been some big finales and some big premieres in the last couple of weeks, so yeah, it's worth going and checking out.
We have less going on right now. One that we haven't talked about recently is Midnight Club, which is Mike Flanagan's latest show. He did Haunting of Hill House, Haunting of Bly Manor, and Midnight something else that I always forget the freaking name. What is it? Midnight Mass. That was Midnight my favorite Mass, one. Yeah. But anyway, this is pretty grim. It's all these teenagers who have terminal illnesses, and they stay at this creepy old mansion that helps them process. But it's interesting. They take turns telling scary stories, and each episode it's a new one telling a story, and then there's scary stuff happening at this place too. So if you like Mac Flanagan,
are any of us covering Guillermo del Toro's new thing on Netflix? I think Andrew Lincoln's in an episode.
I know. I wish we had. Well, maybe we should start looking at that. But it's called, what is it? Cabinet of Curiosities. And yeah. There's a few other really interesting actors in that, all of whom I have forgotten at the moment. But
Dan Stevens.
Have you watched any of them yet?
I haven't. I'm kind of saving them up. I want to finish. I haven't finished Lord of the Rings yet, so I need to do that. Then I have a clear deck to get stuck in. So yeah, no, I want to watch it.
I've also heard Interview with the Vampire, which is on AMC, is really good, and it's kind of a bummer we can't cover that because I know Rima's such a huge fan, but she's just been so busy lately.
Oh, she must be. I mean, the coverage they've been doing on House of the Dragon is amazing. Like, so good.
yeah, I'm so glad that they were able to do that. I knew they'd kill it. Next episode will be Walking Dead Season 11, Episode 21, Outpost 22, which I presume is the destination of these trains.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And all of these episodes are made possible by Patreon supporters like David Welch, who've pledged their support at patreon.com/JasonCabassi. So thank you to David.
Thank you, David.
If you pledge at any level, you get ad-free versions of each episode. If you want the exclusive monthly Patreon podcast, that's $5. If you want to be in the Patreon group, that's $10. And thanks to everyone who's been doing that. All right, that is our show.
Thanks for listening. Don't get bit.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.